Welcome to this edition of The Right Balance. Greg Allen here. We are distributed by the Christian Broadcasting System Limited and then rebroadcast from 10 to midnight via Accent Radio. Go to the Accent Radio Network at night, accentradio.com. You can go to therightbalance.org to lots of different ways to hear our program. As it relates to the news, I'm sure many of you are beginning to find out that Russia and Georgia, not the state, but the country, are apparently at war. Very interesting things going on right now over there. Speaking of Europe and war and things related, I'm looking at a book right now. We're going to share it with the class. Until Our Last Breath, A Holocaust Story of Love and Partisan Resistance. We'll speak with co-author Michael Bart. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
This is about relatives, if you will. This is a story that is, it seems to me, the stuff that movies are made out of. So why don't you give us the thumbnail sketch of your relatives that relates to Until Our Last Breath.
Well, Until Our Last Breath is the story of my parents' experiences as Holocaust survivors in the Vilna ghetto and as members of the Jewish resistance in the ghetto. And then they eventually escaped the ghetto with 120 members of the underground and became the Jewish fighting partisans known as the Avengers, led by Abba Kovner, a well-known leader. And the book basically starts off with the German invasion of Vilna and talks about what it was like being forced and imprisoned into the ghetto, what life was like, the murder of many of the Jews of Vilna, and then ultimately fighting against the Nazis, where the partisans were sabotaging and blowing up trains, communication lines, bridges. And the title comes from part of a speech given by the resistance leader in the Vilna ghetto, where he said, "We shall not go like sheep to slaughter. We shall fight until our last breath."
You found out about your parents' story rather late in life. Why don't you explain that one?
Well, that is interesting. My parents didn't talk a lot about their Holocaust experiences until about 1994, with a couple of exceptions. My father did speak often about his experience as a partisan because that's something he was real proud of. And my mother spoke often about growing up in Vilna, which is today Vilnius, Lithuania, because she was proud of that. And in 1994, with my father in failing health and I was spending a lot more time with my parents, they started sharing much more about their experiences with me. And that all changed drastically as far as my level of knowledge when at my dad's funeral, a man went up to me and didn't identify himself, and he said to me, "Michael, you need to inscribe something on your parents' gravestones, Freedom Fighters of Nakama." And I didn't know what he meant. I'd never heard that before, and I asked him to repeat it. And he said, "Freedom Fighters of Nakama." And then I heard somebody call my name, and I was distracted for a second, and then I turned around, and he was gone. So he either assumed that I knew what he was talking about, or he wanted me to learn what he was talking about. And basically, he was talking about my parents' partisan experience, and he was aware of their activities. And that was when I really, really in depth began my research and finding out more about my parents' experiences.
And if I remember correctly, it took you about 10 years before you even wrote the book?
It took, I researched the book for probably 10 years, probably on a regular basis, where I was interviewing people all over the world.
Well, why don't we do this, Mike? We've got to cut away for a commercial break. The book is Until Our Last Breath. We're speaking with author Michael Bart, B-A-R-T, if you're looking it up at Amazon, back in a flash.
If you need a flexible and reliable health insurance plan, you need to call the Health Markets family of companies. They specialize in helping individuals, small business owners, and the self-employed. If you even think you're paying too much for your current health insurance plan, or your current policy doesn't give you the flexibility you need, call us right now at 800-626-6417. 800-626-6417. And an agent in your area will contact you and provide you a free analysis of your health insurance needs, and he'll customize that plan just for you at a price you can afford. Call us right now for costs and details of coverage. 800-626-6417. 800-626-6417. 6417. The Mega Life and Health Insurance Company, Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee, and the Chesapeake Life Insurance Company are members of the Health Markets family of companies. Administrative offices in North Richland Hills, Texas. All policies offered have limitations.
If you want to lose weight fast, then you need to try these Slim Sculpt tablets. They're an all-natural blend of herbs and ingredients, and we guarantee they will curb your appetite. I take Slim Sculpt tablets every day, and I can personally guarantee you, you will not feel like eating once you take the Slim Sculpt tablets. And let's face it, not having an appetite is one way to lose weight. So call right now and order. 800-430-4234. 800-430-4234. Slim Sculpt is energized with super antioxidants like grapeseed extract and green tea. Combined, they boost your metabolism, curb your appetite, and block fat storage. And again, that's one way to lose weight. And if you call right now, by 2 months, we'll give you the third month free. So call now. 800-430-4234. 800-430-4234. 800-430-4234.
Thank you, boys. We are, in fact, The Right Balance. Greg Allen here. We're talking about the book, Until Our Last Breath. It's a World War II book, and it's subtitled A Holocaust Story of Love and Partisan Resistance. And we're speaking with author Michael Bart, whose parents are the core of this book. With family that survived and with relatives that did not, what do you say to Holocaust deniers? I find it a very interesting psychological lot. Those people that claim, and I love it when they say, well, it wasn't 6 million, it was only 5.5 million or something like that. If it was one, it was one too many. That's the part that really kind of gets my goat. But what do you say to people that say to you, or just say on television or radio, you know, it never happened?
Well, that's something that hits me personally because, you know, frankly, the thing that had the biggest impact on my life happened before I was born. Because of the Holocaust, I grew up with no grandparents, no aunts and uncles, no first cousins, and they were all killed. So obviously dealing with the Holocaust my entire life is an emotional subject. I don't, per se, myself, worry as much about Holocaust deniers as I do about Holocaust minimizers, because I think there's enough historical facts and basis that people are not going to deny the Holocaust and be taken seriously. But I worry about a time in the future where the minimizers are going to come out and say, oh, it wasn't that bad, they blew it out of proportion, and then they'll muddy the water, like maybe some people when they talk about the Armenian Genocide, nobody really knows how many, who did what, and that's my bigger fear, is when we lose the witnesses to the Holocaust, the survivors, who is going to be representing what happened in an accurate and honest fashion. So I worry more about minimizing than I do about denying.
And then he could mix into the stew, if you will. You can go to China. Mao Zedong killed as many or more people than Hitler did. But the American left still has t-shirts and goes to rock concerts and flicks their bics and smokes weed with a Mao shirt on like he was, you know, Uncle Mao. It's very odd because the political whims of the day are strange because no one goes to rock concerts with a picture of Adolf Hitler on their chest. And yet, the communist equivalent, hey, now Che Guevara, the same thing. Let's go to a rock concert, you know, Carlos Santana wears Che Guevara stuff, which to me is like wearing Goering stuff. I don't understand the disconnect. Now, as it relates to your book, Until Our Last Breath, part of the book, a good deal of it deals with your parents and the love story, and this is where the movie part, I think, comes in as well. How on earth did they manage to find love in hell?
Well, that's an interesting story. They met by sheer accident while they were in prison in the ghetto, where my dad was visiting, where my mom's cousin was living, and met my mom, and then they became friends. And then, you know, probably that situation is probably more initially more of a puppy love and companionship, and then it became a little bit more serious. And when my dad shared with my mom that he was part of the underground and that probably shared with her that many of them were going to try to get to the forest, into the woods, and become and fight as partisans. Their relationship grew, and they decided that they would have liked to be together and get married. And then they had to explain it to my mom's mother and her grandmother, who weren't exactly easygoing about their daughter and granddaughter just marrying some guy that while in prison in the ghetto. So that was a challenging issue, but that happened rarely, and they were married in the ghetto by one of the last remaining rabbis 90 days before the ghetto was liquidated.
When you were doing your research, obviously you knew much already about the project, but every author, when they're doing serious research, gets something out of left field. Sometimes it's tragic, sometimes it's magic. What was one of those left field situations for you in doing the research?
Well, I could give you a lot, but I'll give you one. There was a former partisan who's living in Israel. He's very well known internationally, and he was one of my resources for the book, and he had gone on many train sabotage missions with my father and knew him very well, and I was speaking to him all the time. My wife and I went on our second trip to Vilnius, Lithuania, and we're walking through the old ghetto area, and I hear a voice that sounded familiar, and it with a large group of maybe about 10 people, and then I walked over and I got closer, and I recognized the voice of this former partisan who had been helping me for over a year on a regular basis on the phone. And I had no idea he was going to be there, and I went up to him, and I said, "Joseph," and he looked back at me, not knowing who I was, and he said, "Yes," and I said, "Do I look familiar to you?" And he said, "No," and I told him who I was, and it was very, very emotional for him. He had just had heart surgery, and he wanted to bring his family, who was with him, to show them what it was like for him before, you know, he's in his 80s, before he's no longer able to do it. And so he was going on a trip. He didn't tell me. I was going on my second trip. Didn't tell him because of his heart surgery. And for us to meet each other in a strange country like that with his family and my wife and I were there was one of the most emotional moments of the whole project.
Do you think at any point your parents were in the room as you were writing?
Well, it's funny you say that. You know,
and I'm going to have to tell you and warn you, we've only got about 30 seconds left.
No problem. There's a Yiddish expression called Beshert, meaning it's meant to be. And there were so many Beshert that lit my way of finding out so much information that sometimes I thought to myself that basically I'm getting help. It's not just coming from me. So it was an amazing, amazing story, an amazing book.
Well, it really, really is. And I know Francine, my wife who's Jewish, is... going to be reading this book thoroughly very, very soon as well. Maybe even recommend it to the book club that she belongs to. It's an amazing story. It really is. And please thank Adam for turning me on to this. The book being Until Our Last Breath, a Holocaust story of love and partisan resistance. Folks, I would recommend it. I think those of us who believe in a strong Israel and the Judeo-Christian ethic will love this book. Michael Barth being the best. Back in a flash.